Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the weekly conversation. I'm your host, Kyle, the man with the mic. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks, and I hope you do. Oh, wow. Today, as many of you know, is the 17th anniversary of 9/11, and I want to get into that in a little bit. Jim Carrey is talking about Democrats and saying yes to socialism.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, folks, what a moron.
Guess what? I can't wait to be able to buy my wife $1,000 gallon of milk.
Now, what a producer. She's like, hit me in the head because of that. You know, like, I don't want to give me $1,000 for a gallon of milk. Anyway. The governor of South Carolina and Virginia and even North Carolina are talking about massive evacuations as Hurricane Florence Henderson strengthens to 140 mile an hour winds. I always wanted to say that when the name of a hurricane matched somebody.
One with Sam, Michael,
instead of
and Melissa. Yeah. Oh, I was so mad. I'm
so wanting to be a hurricane. So I want to get into that because it's barreling down. The Chinese government is destroying crosses, burning Bibles, closing churches, and forcing Christians to sign papers denouncing their faith and crackdown on religion. Congratulations. In Beijing and several other provinces intensifies. Now, congratulations in Beijing. Congratulations to all you idiotical people. That's what's going to happen here if we don't fight for our beliefs. Speak now while you can. Sherry Graham Potter, if you don't know who that lady is, you'll know who she is after this. After today, she was on Fox and Friends. She's been on the news. Her husband is a slain Arizona police officer, and she is reacting to Nike's campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick because Nike obviously doesn't know the true meaning of sacrifice. He gave his life. Colin Kaepernick gave up a career in the NFL. What a whiny bitch.
He gave it up because he wasn't
going to
be signed anymore because he was terrible.
Oh, he sucked. That much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And I want to get into something. This is... 9/11 is always a hard time for me because I lost someone on 9/11 and I had the opportunity to work in New York let's do this. You don't want to do it, man. You don't want to work. You don't know. I said, dude, I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care. I want to work in New York and you ain't going to make this and that and that. And he's from there, so he went back home. And obviously, I made the right choice and he went back home. So it's not like he made the wrong choice. It's not like he was going there for like, he lived in New York and all that. And, you know, God has other plans for me. And there was a girl at work today when I was talking, because we were bringing, they were bringing up 9/11, and they really didn't understand. This one girl didn't, and I'm like, well, you know, I had the opportunity to go. I wouldn't even be alive. And she goes, well, I'm glad you're here. I said, me too. I'm glad I'm alive. But, you know, I was going to do an externship there. My buddy, when he was on extern, when he had to go back to school, I was just going to help his mom out and live at her place. And then when the extern, then when his time was up at school, his second year, he was going to go back and, you know, he was just going to come back and hang with us and, you know, and work where we were, and it never happened for me anyways. And he didn't survive. And I've never heard this before, but this girl goes, I only know about 9/11 through history books because I wasn't even born. So, and I love what Trump said today when he talked about how they were murdered. Not like we lost. He goes, they were murdered. Three words you will never hear anyone else say. He was being honest. And there, and I didn't realize, I knew he had offices all over in Chicago, in New York, a lot in New York, and he had offices in, like, where you could see the trade centers, and he would stare at them and stuff, and he was there, like, 8 blocks away when it happened, and he was interviewed. Now, you gotta understand, before he became president, he's been interviewed, and no one ever questioned his mental status. They loved him until he ran for president. Yes. Larry King thought the world of him. Mm-hmm. Now he won't think the world of him because he's Republican. But he was interviewed, and he's like, he considered running in 2000 as president. And what would you, you know, oh, there'd be harsh penalties. You know, I truly believe, because I've known somebody that said that there's no way those planes themselves took down the Twin Towers. And Trump, even when he was interviewed, said that, he goes, that was one of the first structures that was built where, from the outside in, there were metal structures, beams all around that thing. He goes, I believe there had to be more than just those planes that helped take down the Twin Towers. Those things were, so, but just the way he was interviewed and the way they treated him, he was. It wasn't like, oh, here's this Looney Tunes.
They called him an expert.
Yes, an expert builder, an expert
businessman.
Yes.
They asked him how would it financially gonna get.
Yeah, and he goes, when they closed the stock markets, he's like, no, we just need to keep going. Because I remember, and I've told this story before. I love. When my wife's not a big fan of it, but it's not Christmas until you see Hans Gruber fall from the Nakatomi building. Die Hard is one of my favorite movies, and that's a tall building. Then part two was an airplane in an airport. So what happened? I thought this was like a three, like a part four or five, where they combined the airport, airplanes, and the buildings. And I'm like, yeah. I got about 10 minutes I can rest before I have to get a shower and get ready to do these big caterings. Pardon me. That's when I don't even lie down and my mom's like, you turn the TV on right now, a plane just hit the Twin Towers. I'm like, oh, fudge. That was real. That wasn't a movie. And I'm like, what the beep in my head? I'm just. And that's when we went and we spent most of the day watching stuff on TV because all the caterings were canceled.
I was at a client's house. We were watching the news. It's hard to keep it together and help somebody when you're falling apart.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what was hard for me when people like, well, why can't you get fresh seafood? I'm like, every plane except for military and the president has been completely grounded. You can't fly anything. Landlocked. We're not getting Chilean sea bass from Indiana Beach and beautiful Lake Schaefer and Monticello, Indiana. We're not getting it. No.
We're not getting anything, period.
Unless it's frozen and it's from Cisco and they already have it and it's being brought by a. Yes.
That wasn't derailed to go
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was hard to, people didn't get it. That and it was, because that was the weekend that the Notre Dame game was supposed to happen, and it didn't happen, and it was just, whew. So now people are, well, you can't have anything about 9/11 because that's going to, because we can't pigeonhole, and sorry, folks, if you're going to make a kid do a school shooting, and you're going to try to take a legitimate gun owner and smear him and say that all gun owners are bad because of one kid that shoots a gun in a school, then I'm going to sit there and say, okay, well, sorry, but I'm not sorry. We're going to talk about 9/11 on this program, folks, because unfortunately, there were 3,000 plus people murdered that day. Murdered. But of course, you know, we can't, not all Muslims are bad. Well, then why are all gun owners bad? If a school shooting happens, all gun owners are bad. But if 9/11 happens, oh, you can't blame all the Muslims for a few. Wow, that kind of, I don't know. But don't worry, because we got Jim Carrey. He's going to save everything because he's making sure that every Democrat says yes to Venezuela and socialism so we can have $1,000 gallons of milk. Well, that $1,000 gallon of milk is only going to be for a few seconds before it goes about $10,000 a gallon. And then you have anarchy and people are shooting and killing each other just trying to get bread and cheese and eggs. But, yeah, that's what they want. Oh, that's... See, they've done it wrong. See, America interfered with Venezuela, and that's why the whole thing fell apart. No, that's not the case. Sorry, folks. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. You know, Venezuela fell apart because of socialism, not because of any interference by us. Sorry, but not sorry. I mean, that's the truth, but these kids don't know any better. I told my mom about that Democrat app that tells Democrats every day what they believe, what they're supposed to support. My mom about pissed her pants. But she goes, it's the truth. That's how sad it is. The Democrat app. Yes. And, wow. That's just the world we live in, folks. I never thought I'd see the day where people in this country would be pushing for socialism. But then again, you know, I was watching the news the other day with my mom, and it's like, oh, they're saying on the news and all these networks that if they had the election today, Democrats would win wholeheartedly. They would get every seat in the Senate, every seat in the House. And I'm like, really? Yeah, but well, Mom, think about it like this. It was a 200% chance Hillary Clinton was going to win the election, and she didn't. Man, at first I thought Hillary might win. Now, I don't even see a chance. I don't see no effing landslide. I love that when the Young Turks guy starts losing it. I thought she was going to win. What do I do now?
Oh, I know. That was
hilarious. I didn't expect him to win.
That and Rachel Maddow. I had to watch her at least 10 times.
To tell you how bad the party is, she couldn't even come out to concede and say, hey, nice job. But you could just see the steam coming out of her ears during the inauguration when she had to be there. And, well, like she said, you know, if Trump gets in, we're going to hang by our toes like Mussolini. You better fix it. But that really doesn't mean what she said it meant. Of course not. Remember, don't worry, folks. Remember 9/11. Never forget it, because pretty soon they're going to try to tear down, because it's offensive, 9/11 monuments like they're doing these Civil War monuments. What I want to do is, if I had the money, I want to get a GoFundMe page. I'm going to start a GoFundMe page And I'm going to start raising money so that anybody I see tearing down a Civil War monument or pissing on one of our monuments, I'm going to send them to Auschwitz, Germany. You know what's in Auschwitz, Germany? Original concentration camps. The actual jerseys that they had, the uniforms that the Jews wore, they're still there. Their shoes there. They're not burning it down. They're showcasing. It's almost like a museum. This is our past. This is something we don't want to forget because we don't want to repeat ourselves. We don't want to repeat the history. That's what that is. They're not covered. They're not burning it. They're not saying, "Oh, we gotta hide statues of Hitler." Hey, this is where we've been. This is what we don't want, and we're teaching our kids. This was a part of our history, a part that we don't want to repeat, so that they can see that you can learn from your history. Imagine that. Imagine looking at restaurants and saying, okay, what's been successful? What's failed? And then you take the one that is successful and run with it. Gee, imagine looking at two businesses, one successful, one failed. Which business plan would you look at? Which business would you model yourself after? The one that's successful or one that failed? What a concept. You know, gee, Nazi Germany was a bad time in this country. Segregation was a bad time in this country. Why don't we keep our history so we remember it and don't repeat it? Yeah. If you segregate when you should have had slavery, you're going to have a bad time. I'm going to get slack for that. I don't care though. I don't care. I mean, we have to have...
The only one that's allowed to slap you is me, and I'm not going to slap you.
Yeah. And, but that's the world we... But that's this world we live in. That's this world we live in, where kids think that, oh, everything should just be handed to me. It should be all free. Don't worry. Don't worry. Everything's going to be free. Don't worry. Government will pay for everything. The government will get you out of debt. Like, the government's going to be... I can't name one government program that's not in the red. Don't worry. The same people that are mad that Trump's pushing Christianity down your throat is the same people that are saying that he's Hitler. Hitler was like China. They were trying to get rid of Christianity and Judaism. That's what's going on in China right now. They're burning and destroying churches and crosses and closing them, forcing Christian believers to sign papers denouncing their beliefs. Congratulations, Beijing and several provinces. Congratulations. I do my show now while I still have the ability to speak my own mind. I don't care. Obama can say whatever he wants. He can go out on the campaign trail. There's no law against it. It's never been really done. But it's not like anyone's really going. Yeah. He has the right to say what he wants to. I mean, he doesn't really have many people following him. But at that last event, it held 7,500 people at venue, and he had 750. Just under 800? That's because people are tired of the BS. See, people are seeing... See, I think some Democrats are seeing through the hypocrisy of saying, well, look at Nancy Pelosi. I kind of agree with her, but look at the money she has and look at how I'm struggling. I think some people on the left... Not a lot, but I think there are a few people that are seeing these politicians get away with things that they know they would go to jail for. They're still liberal, but they kind of see, well, okay, well, yeah, we got Trump in here. Like, after 8 years of Obama, I'm not better off. And they don't know what to do. You know, they're kind of like in limbo. Not a lot of them, but there's probably about 5% that are like, wait a minute here. I mean, if Obama was that great of a person, he would be packing them in. But he's not. I want you to take a moment and give your thoughts and prayers out to all those in South Carolina and North Carolina and Virginia that are in the path of Hurricane Florence Henderson. It's expected to strengthen to over 100, supposedly it's at like 140 miles an hour now, and they're expecting like 160 by the time it hits landfall as a Category 4 hurricane. And you wonder how that works, because if they do evacuation orders, do they, because, I mean, I'm assuming they, you have to leave, period. I mean, like, I mean, can a restaurant...
You're on your own,
man. I'm just wondering, if you work at a restaurant, do they just close the doors? Or do you know you have to stay here and work?
No, they're closing the doors. Everybody's leaving. Most of the people are leaving. The stores are sold out of stuff. I mean, businesses, a lot of the businesses are closing either tomorrow, they said.
Okay, I didn't know, like, if a restaurant chains and, hey, you keep your doors open, I don't care. If the hurricane comes, you stay here and work.
I'd walk.
I've never experienced hurricanes. I know tornadoes, and I know how to prepare for that, because you ain't got but, like, 5 minutes. Okay, sirens are going, get below, shut everything off.
A monthly thing between March and September, almost. I'm exaggerating, but they never were a big deal to me. You get upset at storms. I just sleep.
Well, I mean, when we've had tornadoes come through here and houses have been totally wiped out.
What is it
when it,
you being freaked out, is that
going to
change it?
Yes.
How?
Because that's how I deal with stress. Okay, well, okay, I'm gonna send Melissa with Storm Chasers and see how she does. See?
Ooh, I would probably be out there with her.
You would probably be running towards the tornado as it's coming at you. Cool, maybe I can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would. I'd be like, hell no. Mm-mm. See, I want to see God, but not today. Okay?
See, he's the only one who gets to say when you need.
Well, I don't plan on... I don't want to try to meet him sooner. As many of you know, I'm sure you've heard about, I got to get into because there are people that are posting another day in America KKK, because Serena Williams is having a temper tantrum when they've had so many ex-players and officials and judges saying that there was the right call. He's done that call to men. You know, she just needs to grow a pair, which she ain't got. She needs to take off her Depends, change them. See, she's just someone that's trying to use her color and her sex as a way to try to, well, see, if I was white and I was a man, that's happened before, and they penalized a white man for doing the same thing. I just think it's hilarious, because, I mean, I think she, to me, What I saw in that court was a over. She's a spoiled brat. She thinks she's old because she's a famous tennis celebrity who's a female and black. And if you don't give me what, if I don't, if it doesn't go my way, you're a racist feminist. Well, yeah, but I'm, yeah, but there's a lot of people, not her, but there's a lot of black people saying it's because of the color of her skin.
Yeah.
They're not saying it's because she's a woman. She's saying it's a woman. There's most of the media is, there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, and that's life in America, KKK, with the, if you're a black, it doesn't go your way. Well, let me tell you something. If a white cop kills a black person and it's not justified, he should be punished. Just like if a white cop kills a white person or a black cop kills a person and it's not justified and they use excessive force, there should be ramifications.
Like there was this white cop lady who thought she was going into her apartment, went into the wrong apartment, saw a... I don't even know if she recognized he was black or whatever. Saw a guy, he happened to be black. Okay. She told him, show me your hands, do this, do that. He didn't do a thing she said. So she thought she's in her house. Okay. Defended herself as a cop will do, shot him and killed him. The family wants to know, is it because he was black? I say, if it was a black cop shooting a white person, would we even hear about it? Or if it was a black cop killing a black person, would we even hear about it?
No. No, you wouldn't.
Cops are cops. Cops are human. Cops can make mistakes.
Yep.
She made a mistake. Race had nothing
to do with it. Oh, I know. That's the problem with Barack Obama, because he was the one that made it okay and acceptable for you to push this race card to say that, oh, if you're a lazy ass son of a bitch at work and you're black, you can blame the fact that they're going to fire you on the fact that you're black, not because you're a lazy ass SOB. And that's where we're at. These people... And I know Serena Williams wasn't pushing the race card. She was pushing the feminism card. But there are blacks, whites, don't matter. It had nothing to do with gender, race, or anything. The call had been made the same way against a white male.
And okay, Rosie, this judge has been known to do this to her and her sister in the past. This judge does not like it. I've seen the call that this judge has made. He was looking to penalize her.
But
she's
what,
not wasting her time.
Yeah, but I know that what he called her on was legit. It's not like it was
made up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
He does not like her.
No.
Or her sister.
I don't like either of them because they're snobs. They think, oh, I'm better than everyone because I'm this famous tennis star and I'm going to use my... No. We're all human beings, grow up. We're all, you know, I hate the fact that a white cop can kill a black person. Everyone's up in arms, but 1,000 blacks can kill 1,000 blacks and no one cares. Well, if you're outraged, you're not publicly showing it. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. I was just calling to agree with you guys on pretty much everything you said. She did act like a spoiled child, Serena Williams. Bad sportsmanship. You lose. You don't go breaking your tennis racket and accusing the referee or the person who's calling the game a liar or anything else as far as it's you lost. There are other games you shake hands, and that's it. You go practice to get better so you can beat that person the next time. You know, that's it. But to have a hissy fit and then start accusing people of lying or fixing the game because they're against you for race or color or whatever else is ridiculous. She just made a mockery of herself.
Totally agree. I mean, I could see if the call was judgmental to where there were people that say he shouldn't have made the call, but when they've had several judges come out and say that whether he likes her or not, he made the right call, it was the right decision, you know, it's not like it was questionable. So
yeah, it wasn't a controversial call where you had other, you know, people who were looking into it saying, well, I don't know, it could have been this or that, let's get a replay. No, it's a solid call, you know, and I don't know why people are making such a big deal out of it.
Yep, I guess they have nothing else to talk about.
Oh, it's just the typical left side, you know, playing the race card. I mean, we're all Americans. You should be American first, and then whatever you were, if you're a different, you know, American with Hispanic descent, or American with, you know, I don't know, Australian descent, or German descent, or whatever. But American first. You know, it's not a black-white thing. It's an American.
Yeah, because like when my ancestors came here from Poland, you didn't speak any of your native tongues outside of the home. You, when you came to this country, you were an American. You were proud to be an American. You tried to learn English. Now you have people coming here waving their country's flag, hating our flag, wanting us to learn their language, wanting us to live under their rules in the country that they're used to being in, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Nope. I was listening to a show before yours, and there was these two women that were talking about we need more diversity in Washington, and it's mostly all white, and so they're, I guess, on the Democrat Party, they're in a state, there's a Muslim woman running for Congress, and what's another one? I don't know. Hispanic or all these others. But what they don't understand is even though they may be American and qualify, there are still, I don't know, things that they have in their culture that they may, you know, impose upon American values. And then the country starts to change as a whole, as a fabric. And I don't think that's a good idea. What are your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, because I'm one of those people that when, I mean, I've told this to a lot of my younger friends, this country has changed from the country I grew up in. And I said, it's changed 100%. I never thought, when I grew up, when I was in school, in elementary school or junior high or high school, we never wore political buttons. We never wore political shirts. I couldn't tell you what any of my teachers politically believed. We never talked about it. Now you have teachers can flag shirt off, turn it inside out. How dare you take that Trump hat off? Can't believe you want to wear that effing hat in here. Can't believe you support that SOB. You didn't know they would show the State of the Union address of Bill Clinton, not for what he said, but okay, when he comes into the room, he's going to be introduced by the Speaker of the House. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. He's going to shake these people's, and it was a learning experience for what he's going to do. Not necessarily do you agree with what he said or not agree with what he said. Do you believe him or not? It was for educational purposes.
Right, right. Oh, I agree. I grew up in a different America, too. I mean, I'm 52 now, and the neighborhood I grew in was predominantly white, but there were other races there, too, you know, if you want to detail it. But I just, as far as we all just got along. We grew up, we had block parties for the 4th of July. Everybody watched everybody's kids, and during the week after homework and chores, it was in when the streetlights went on. And if you weren't, somebody's mom would tell you, what are you doing out here? Aren't you supposed to be home?
Yep, exactly.
And that's it, you know. It wasn't, we didn't think about color or anything else. If you played good sports, then you were chosen. If you didn't, then you got chosen last. But,
yeah.
You know, it was a lot simpler back then. And now everything is about race or sex. What you claim your sex to be. No matter what you call yourself, it's still a man or a woman, in my opinion. Just adding to it.
Yeah, I don't understand these people that, like, well, I feel discriminated against because on the application, I don't believe I'm a man or a woman, and I'm a giraffe, and it doesn't have me able to list other. I don't understand. Me and my wife are married, and being married, you know, we don't flaunt our sexuality like you. I support gays, I support lesbians, but the way they flaunt it in public, like, here, watch us make out, that's just, I don't get that.
Yep. Well, that's how my husband and I are, too. It's like, fine, you know, no problem, you're gay, whatever. But the rights that you're asking for, you pretty much already have, but you're just wanting to claim specific rights now. And it's like, as far as jobs go and being, if you're fired, well, maybe they fired you because you weren't performing well, not because you were gay. And if they knew you were gay, then it was probably because you told them. And that's something I don't do when I go in for a job. I don't say, hi, pleased to meet you. I'm Suzette. I'm heterosexual.
Exactly. Yeah. And I see that a lot, really. Because I've worked with people that were the last one in, first one gone, and just were on the phone all day long. And they were the ones that were complaining that, oh, because I'm black, that's why I was let go. No,
yep.
We were let go because we're in a restaurant situation. We're going 100 miles an hour. We got to feed people, and you're on your phone. It's not about color. It's not about race. It's not about gender. We'll take someone with Down syndrome. If they can do the job and do it great, they got the job. It's not about that. You got to move, and you're not doing your job.
It's about performance, but they want job protection. And it's like, job protection? For what?
Yeah.
Because I'm gay or bisexual or whatever. It's like, okay, so I don't get job protection, but you do? I mean, basically, we're on the same playing field right now, the way things are, but now you're asking for something special.
Yeah.
And really, you're not. It's just a preference in your bedroom. That's it. So why should you get special treatment for that?
Exactly. And then what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, then, well, you have to hire me because if you don't, I can say it's because I'm gay.
Exactly. And they're just normal people like we are. You know, they put their pants on one leg at a time. Well, maybe some of us put two at a time. It depends, I guess. But still, you know, we're people. And those things that they're trying to claim special rights for are something that happens in their privacy of their own home, just like the privacy of my own home. And so I don't think special rights should be claimed for that. You know, if you want to be treated equal, then be equal.
Yep. Well, it's like I was going to talk about this. I could support Colin Kaepernick if he came out and said, hey, I have this great life. Everything is great with me. But there are some people, no matter what gender, no matter what race, no matter what amount of money you have, that may not have the same opportunities that I was granted. And I want to help them out. I could support him if he did that. But when he took a knee and then comes out later, oh, I took a knee because I don't support the national anthem because I believe this country does not take people. I don't have the same opportunities as everyone else. I'm like, well, okay, you're a millionaire football player. What do you mean you don't have the same opportunities? If he would have approached it differently, he would have more people behind him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was taking a knee, blaming America for treating black people as second-class citizens type thing. And it's like, no, you're living in the past. They have the same equal rights. And besides, I don't see you doing anything on your off time to help the situation. You just seem to be only doing it on the field when you kneel, and that's it. You know, if you really wanted to help and really had something to say about it, I'm sure you could get an appointment with the president because you're famous. And or help your community out. or start a program or something. But nope, just going to take a knee.
Yep. And that's the thing I tell all my friends. I'm like, none of the people that are taking a knee are actually doing anything besides that. It's like these liberals, okay? If you don't think Trump's doing a great job, then how is going and throwing a rock through a GOP building window solving your problem? How is that making this country any better?
Yep.
Why aren't you at the soup kitchen helping out? Why aren't you giving back to your community?
Exactly. And they want to say, well, it's Barack Obama's legacy. That's what he left. It's his legacy that we're seeing right now with the economic boom. And it's like, well, no, because Trump undid his regulations and his policies. So if it was Obama's legacy and if Trump undid those things, then the economy would be bad. But since he undid those things, the economy is good. So it's not Obama's legacy because he didn't leave those same things in place.
Exactly.
That's so hard to get through to some of them, you know, as far as think about it. He undid all these regulations that just made these companies explode as far as business and hiring and everything because they weren't dragged down by all these regulations and stuff. And so they were able to hire and create a good economy and stuff. But,
exactly.
You know, if he would have left those things in place, then, yeah, then you could claim Obama's legacy. But I can tell you, probably wouldn't be good.
Oh, I know. Because my dad owns a trunk company, because every time he turns around, there were new regulations, new things he had to abide by and follow. Because it was ridiculous. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, and if they violated those regulations, if they didn't have the means necessary to make it climate, environment safe or whatever, then those companies had to pay big fines. And so you pay big fines, then you can't afford to hire people. So.
Yep. Exactly. And that's a young generation that's been, I mean, I joked about on my last program that they need to come up with an app, because these kids are just being taught what to say. They don't think for themselves. They're not taught to think for themselves. I remember it was like 4 years ago or whatever, they said that like 75% of college kids got their political news from Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. And it's like,
yep.
That's supposed to be like comedic. It's not supposed to be
now
real.
Now it's Bill Maher.
Yep. And they're not
and
taught
not
to think for themselves.
Country any good by what he talks about.
No, it's not. And these kids don't know anything. They just know what they're being told to believe. They're not taught to think for themselves or look up their history or.
Well, they don't even stop to think that the information that's coming from him, he's a comedian or a pundit,
yeah,
or whatever you call it, late night show host. He's no expert.
Yep. He's not. And it's just, I mean, and they just, you know, and they take him for, and he does a liberal spin on anything that goes out there. Like they had a guy that was on the Jon Stewart show, The Daily Show, and he said, well, my interview was like 4 hours, and they kept asking me the questions and until I would slip up on an answer, and then that's the question you would see aired. They skewed my interview to make me look bad. Because if you hear me on The Daily Show talk about increasing the minimum wage, and I'm against it, you would think that I was a cuckoo. But if you hear me talk about it right now, you would hear me say that it's bad and I can show you why and you'd believe me. But on The Daily Show, they edit it and cut it and paste it to where it makes me look bad.
Of course. Yep. That's their job, unfortunately. You don't get a fair shake.
Exactly.
I think that's how they get their rating. You know, they get somebody on there that really has something to say, but then they can only do everything that they can to make that person look stupid so that they can get ratings.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Carl, for taking my call. I just wanted to add my 2 cents.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. I'm calling from
Bye-bye.
California, so pray for me.
I will.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless. That was a caller all the way from California, and they need prayer because that country, because they want to be their own country. They do. They want to be their, they want to, I had a buddy that just left to go to Austin, Texas, home of Steve Ray Vaughan. He left Dallas, he left San Diego because he finally got a tax break from Donald J. Trump, and they wanted to increase the taxes.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm done. I want to get into this because this is incredible. Night Horrified. Benghazi hero featured in Just Do It. Photo. That company is praying no one sees. Do it. I held down the fort in Benghazi. Obama and Hillary rolled over in their silk sheets and hit the snooze button. I didn't get any kids' sneakers contract either. I was wearing my military boots. I roll for one brand only, the United States flag. America did it. Amazing, amazing, amazing. As I was getting into, like, there's been several people that have come out with this Colin Kaepernick ad who their loved one was Sherry Graham Potter is the widow of an Arizona police officer who reacted on Fox and Friends about the true meaning of sacrifice. Well, I guess taking a knee is a sacrifice, and you know, and it's when you have people out there that take the ultimate sacrifice for this country, that means something. I wish, I mean, if it wasn't for my myopathy, I wish I could have served. I would have loved to have served. I would have loved to have been in the Coast Guard and kept on the tradition of my dad, but because what I know now, I mean, I was talking to my mom the other day, and I'm like, I just thought at the end of a 12-hour day in the kitchen, I was in excruciating pain. Everyone was like that. Everyone had that pain. I didn't know any different. And I mean, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have been able to have the PT, the physical fitness, but training, but I wish I could have served. But it's one of the things that these kids need to know what real sacrifice is. And like I've said before, and until an illegal comes across this border that has no documentation and kills someone in their family, and then they're affected by the fact that, wait a minute, the guy that killed my mother is a illegal that shouldn't have been here. It will take something like that for a liberal to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should have had a wall. Maybe we should have done this stuff. You know, like that lady I was talking about, I think it was in South Carolina or whatever, where she was 110% in support of anybody can use any bathroom. If you think you're a woman, you can use the woman's bathroom. If you think you're a guy, you can use the men's bathroom. Not realizing that I can walk into the women's bathroom dressed like a man and just, hey, I think I'm a woman. I just don't dress like one. I don't have fake boobs. I don't wear high heels or a dress or have long hair. I'm, you know, and she's like, wait a minute. I thought when you came in to the bathroom, you had to look like a woman. I just saw a guy walk in the bathroom and she flipped out. And then she totally changed her stance. It's going to take stuff like that, folks, for this whole thing to change. And if, what really needs to get out there is to these kids is to get the videos out to these kids that show Hillary Clinton supporting a border wall, Hillary Clinton supporting putting a wall up, Hillary Clinton 100% against gay marriage, Hillary Clinton against marriage is only between a man and woman, no. To where Barack Obama is about a wall and saying that illegals hurt our economy, and get these videos out there so that they can say, wait a minute, here's Trump saying the same thing since 1980, and here's Hillary Clinton every year changing her stance. 25 times. That's the world we live in. I mean, like I said earlier, I was shocked when this girl goes, I wasn't even, I only know 9/11 from a history book because I'm 16. I'm like, oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, Sean Kennedy, his daughter, was born August 23rd. And that happened 9/11.
Yeah.
Not even like 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
Yep. It's,
she doesn't remember.
Yep. Some people, I remember when they had like a thing that they said, like, if you turned 18 today, you were, 9/11 happened in kindergarten. And I talk a lot about 9/11 on this program because we can't forget our history, folks. You know, we can't forget our history. I mean, Germany doesn't forget its history. That's why they have those buildings from Auschwitz, original buildings with original stuff, with original, I mean, shoes and photos, and so that they don't forget their history. Well, it's just about that time, folks. I want to get into a little bit of the Premier League while I got a few moments before we move on, folks. And I want to give our thoughts and prayers. I want to get our thoughts and prayers going out to Luke Shaw, who, if you don't know, the other day during national team duty for the England team, he had a concussion, and he is just out for the Watford game, so hopefully he's okay. They said he should be. He just can't train, is what they said, so they won't have him ready for the match. That's why he is not playing. But as we look forward, that's one thing I've always wanted. I always... Because, I mean, these are friendlies, and I remember when David Beckham came back to Manchester United for a fun thing and went out on the pitch and played and got hurt and injured and wasn't able to be on the national team for the World Cup, and, you know, and it's kind of frustrating when stuff like that happens. But as many of you know, we are in 10th place right now with 6 points, just 6 back of Liverpool, Chelsea and Watford with 12 points. Manchester City has 10. Tottenham has 9. And then Bournemouth, 7. I mean, heck, we're... My wife's team, Everton, is in 7th, so they're beating us. But we were just so inconsistent. And I think the 5-3-2 is a system that we got to play and continue to use. I think we just got to... I don't know what to tell you about the team. I mean, there's already talk about, you know, Zidane saying who he would bring in, because there's a lot of people that even if Jose Mourinho wins a title with United this year, which I think is highly unlikely, he would leave anyways, and Zidane's just preparing him. This is what I'm going to do. This is because Jose said who he would bring in if they get rid of Louis van Gaal, so... I can honestly see Zidane being a predecessor to Jose Mourinho if he is sacked mid-season or leaves at the end of the season. So I do think about that, you know, so I can see that happening. And we'll just have to wait and see what's happening and what goes on with that, folks. And I just want to get into this really quickly because I had a friend of mine went yet. I don't know if any of you watch NASCAR. I used to be a huge fan of it until they started to do the segments and started to change stuff and all this. And yesterday they ran the Brickyard. And I think they did the Xfinity race too, because I know the Xfinity race was for sure not run. But I found out that because of the weather that the Monster Energy Cup Series race was not run either. And there was 10,000 people that they said made it to the race on Monday. And that place holds like 100 and some thousand, but it was a Monday. I remember 1 year, I think it was, I don't know when it was, but there was one 500 that they didn't get in until like Tuesday. And then they just opened up the doors to anyone to come in. trying to get anybody there because everyone by Tuesday had gone home and had to fly back to wherever they're from. And yeah, and it was like nobody there. It was like empty. Kind of interesting and just kind of sad to see how that sport's kind of gone downhill, like Obama's presidency, you know, when he was. Just sad. But then when you have the CEO and the owner that was on Oxycontin and all kinds of drugs and alcohol, and here he's not in the garage, and, you know, it's just sad. You know, I mean, we all have our vices, we all have our things that keep us going. You know, a lady close to me, that was like a mom to me, passed away, my brother passed, and you got to put one foot in front of the other and give it to God and let him lead you. And, you know, my Bible, I've been my God sent. I'm telling you, you know, when I'm lost, I'm like, Bible app, okay, what's the script, what's the verse of the day, you know, listen to it, and it gets you through. I mean, God's the only eternal comfort you have. I mean, everything else just fades away, but he's the eternal comfort. You never know when your day is. I was talking to a buddy at work that his mom's dying of cancer, and we're talking, and I'm like, as long as she's got this, she knows where she's going, so, you know, you got to give it to her. And just, that's one thing. I'm glad we don't know when our day is, and we just take every day like it's your last, and never take for granted. That's why I was at work, and it's like 11:30. It was almost 12 o'clock, and we're about ready to get slammed, and I instantly clicked on my phone, and I'm like, I'm at work. I love you. I made it safe. And I sent my wife a Bible verse because I don't take that for granted. I mean, it's got about 90 seconds left, but, you know, I love the fact that my wife will wonder what's going on if I don't write her. Like, did I go off the road? I mean, that's, you know, and I take that seriously. Like, I think, okay, well, here you go. And I do my best to write her to let her know I made it safe. Yeah.
Let me know you made it, okay.
And this is, I run a support group, and I posted this a long time ago, and this is for muscular dystrophy awareness and for myopathy awareness. It says, we don't know how strong we are until being strong is the only choice you have. Think about that as you're going through your day, and, you know, and just think about, you may be struggling, but there's probably someone out there that's worse than you are. So, you know, just give back. Do stuff for others, you know. There's a church that takes a secondary collection and they hand that $50 or $200 to someone. Go out and do something good with it and then report back to us on the good you did with it and who you blessed and what happened. So try that sometime. And remember, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this Thursday at 9, good night and God bless. Goodbye.